Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Betsy Turner, and I'm the pastor of Stockbridge Presbyterian Church. This message is for Sunday, May the 3rd, which is the fourth Sunday in Easter and our eighth week of not gathering due to COVID-19. I remain so thankful for all of you and for the ways that we are continuing life together as a church, even while we are apart. Our sign out front right now says, still church while apart. And y'all are really living into that. And I'm very thankful for the ways that you're staying in touch and staying generous with each other and with the church, even as you stay in and as I hope and pray as you stay healthy. Let's begin our time of worship by singing a few verses of a familiar song, a hymn, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. When we asunder part, it causes inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. Will you pray with me? Holy God, in the midst of a lot of chaos and confusion, much stress and anxiety, we come to worship you. Help us to quiet other voices in these moments so that we might hear you speaking to us. Bind us together across the distance that separates through the gift of technology and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And grant your peace to our frantic minds, our weary bodies, and our restless spirits. Come, Spirit, come. And be with us. Our scripture reading today is the last part of Acts chapter 2. It's been an eventful chapter in the Bible and in the life of the early church. It started on the day of Pentecost with the gift of the Holy Spirit, a story we will read in a couple of weeks ago when we celebrate Pentecost and the church's birthday. Immediately after the Spirit comes, Peter stands up and begins to preach the story of Jesus and the saving news of God's grace. And it works. 3,000 people, we're told, were added that day and came to believe. In the midst of all of those events, the people, the crowd, asked two really good questions, which I want to argue are also critical questions for us to be asking today. When the Spirit came, the people asked, "What does this mean?" And then when Peter spoke, they asked, "What should we do?" Our reading today is the very end of Acts chapter 2, and it is the church's first answer to those two critical questions. I'm reading from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had a need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So the people ask, what does this mean? What does the Holy Spirit mean? And the church answers, it means radical community. It means worship and fellowship and prayer together. It means being centered around Christ-like hospitality and generosity, and it means glad and generous hearts. The people ask, what should we do? What should we do in response to this gospel we have heard, this news of grace? And the church answers, we should be together, not just gathering in a common space at the temple or at home, but being together in one mind and heart and purpose. And remarkably, also one purse. We're told they shared everything, distributing resources as anyone had a need. This is a beautiful, inspirational, grand depiction of the early Christian community, living together in perfect harmony, gathering constantly, sharing fully, and growing continually. But I wonder if the church really fully lived this way. Or if perhaps the writer of Acts, traditionally that's Luke, is looking back at the history and remembering those early days of the church with selective memory, through rose-colored glasses, imagining in hindsight that everything was simpler and purer and more perfect way back when. We call that impulse nostalgia. And according to the wise writer and comedian John Hodgman, nostalgia is a toxic impulse. It is the twinned yearning delusion that A, the past was better, which it wasn't, and B, that the past can be recaptured, which it can't. Nostalgia is a dangerous temptation for the church. We tend to remember the good parts and fondly idealize the past, and that looking back, that yearning for the past, especially when we get distracted or obsessed or bogged down in it, can prevent us from being grateful and being attuned to the Spirit in the present. And it can hold us back from moving forward and being hopeful about the future to which God is leading us. But here's the thing about that text from Acts chapter 2. We know that the early church was not as picture perfect as the passage I read you earlier would make it seem. They must not have been that way, at least not for any length of time. And we know that because we've read the rest of the New Testament, which is mostly letters dealing with all the ways the church didn't live up to those lofty goals, the ways the church fell short of that beautiful nostalgic portrait. You can check out 1 Corinthians 6 or James 4 or pretty much the whole book of Galatians or a lot of other places in the New Testament to find how the early church wrestled and wrangled and squabbled and the ways that they struggled in a lot of the same ways that we do. The challenges of surviving and thriving in a changing neighborhood and a changing world. Church drama and infighting and power struggles, if you can believe such a thing. How to fund a ministry and how to share and be generous within and beyond the church. How to make sense of hard things and faithfully face the realities of scarcity and anxiety, and fear, temptation and injustice, the brokenness of the world, the brokenness of our hearts, and the specter of death itself. They faced strong differences of opinion on theology and polity and the practice of faith, and they found that those differences sometimes tore them apart. And they asked questions of how to keep the gospel and the church relevant in a secular and constantly changing world, and how to pass the faith on to the next generation. You see, the past is always more complicated than we nostalgically remember. And we certainly can't go back to the way it was before this pandemic, or the way it was with the previous pastor? Or back to the good old days, which only exist in our imagination? It is simply not fruitful or faithful to obsess about the past or get bogged down in it. Whether that past that you're talking about is 2 months ago, before all of this, or 2 years ago, under that other pastor, or 2 or 4 or 6 decades ago when things were so different for the church, or long ago in the early church, no matter how rosy an image our writer in Acts paints for us. Thanks be to God, the only way that God leads us is forward, but always faithfully. God goes with us into new spaces, into new leadership, into new normal. Think about the Israelites in the wilderness, not knowing how or when or where they would find the promised land, but God was with them as a pillar of cloud and fire. Or Ruth, sticking with Naomi on the long journey from Moab to Judah, a land Ruth did not know and a life she did not know what to expect. And yet God was faithful to those women on their journey together. Or the disciples dropping their nets and leaving behind their livelihoods and everything familiar and secure because they were going with Jesus. This season of transition in the life of the church and this time of pandemic for the world, with all that is shifting and uncertain and scary, as we are waiting for and discovering and imagining, and as we will create that new normal that we're going to have to live into, now is a time to ask ourselves the very questions the people asked on Pentecost. What does this all mean? And what should we do? And I want to suggest that one place that we can look for answers to those questions is this grand vision that we found in Acts chapter 2. But I don't want us to look at it out of nostalgia, but instead out of hope. Let's not think of this passage as an idealized past that we are trying to recapture and get back to. But instead, let's see this as a description, a vision of the future, something God might be setting out in front of us as a way forward and an inspiration for what we will be and can be and are called to be by that Holy Spirit, a community built on worship and fellowship and prayer, a family of faith practicing radical hospitality and abundance, sharing resources, giving generously to anyone who has a need. A Spirit-led church that gathers not only in traditional holy spaces like the temple and the sanctuary, but also makes and maintains connections and finds holiness in homes and at table and on the street. And yes, my friends, for us, online, in virtual spaces. A glad and generous people who live in awe and watch for signs and wonders. A growing and vibrant community whose life together and whose goodwill for all people is attractional and welcomes others in day by day so that the church and the kingdom grow both in depth of faith, but also reaching more people with God's love. May it be so, not in some nostalgic past, but in the present reality of the church and in the future, to which God is leading us even now. Thanks be to God for the vision. Amen. Now let us sing once again. We will continue with Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. Before our Maker's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, blessed be indeed the ties that bind us together, the love and friendship and affection and common purpose shared between us, all of it enlivened by your Holy Spirit, who calls and holds us in community with one another and in communion with you. Trusting that good Spirit who intercedes in ties too deep for words, we are bold to bring you our woes and our burdens, our tears, and the realities that bring them to our eyes. We pour out before you our ardent prayers, prayers for ourselves and for the ones we love, prayers for our neighbors and strangers and even our enemies, prayers for our neighborhood and our nation, and indeed prayers for the whole world, which you love and which Christ came to save. In the midst of all that hurts, all that is fearful, all that we miss, all that we grieve, we do also give you thanks for signs and wonders in our midst, for the people who have healed and recovered from COVID-19, for the heroes and helpers on the front lines, for the places where the curve has flattened because of bold leadership and community action, for the resilience of the human family and our capacity for compassion, for all faithful responses to this unimaginable time of tragedy, and for every experience of care and dignity and peace. We thank you that you are still alive in the world and at work among us, ever on the side of healing and wholeness, life and light and love. As we always do, but with particular urgency in these days, we do pray for the sick and those that care for them, for the dying and for those who grieve, especially those who do so alone, for the poor and those who are the most vulnerable, for the anxious and those who feel most alone, for those in seats of power that they would lead with wisdom, seeking the common good. And we pray for ourselves that you would give us all we need for the facing of this day and this week and this situation as long as it shall last. Hear us now as we name in silence or out loud in our own spaces the particular ways that we need your grace. Hear our prayers, O God, the ones we speak and all that we leave silent, for we offer them in the name and by the power of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our friend, the one who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us sing the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. As we go from this time together, I remind you once again to stay in, stay in touch, and stay generous. Your session is monitoring the situation with COVID-19, and they have faithfully determined that we will not gather in person or any church activities, including worship, at least through the month of May. They will continue to reassess and communicate with you. I'm thankful for their leadership and their wisdom. Our priority throughout this time has been unanimous. It is to keep everyone healthy and safe. And we trust that you are doing your part in that. While we are separated and isolated, please do take advantage of the many ways that we have to connect. Our church's Facebook page, the regular emails from the church and from me, and the church website, spcusa.org, which includes our Give tab, where you can do online giving. You can also give by mailing a check to the church office, and all of those gifts are critical and much appreciated because they allow us to sustain the building and the staff and the ongoing mission and ministry of the church. So thank you to those who are giving. We have a new May newsletter that is out this week, and it includes an update from your pastor nominating committee, as well as a note from me and some other announcements. Please check that out. Our Zoom fellowship hour is happening every Wednesday night at 7:30. That information comes to you by email, or you can reach out to me. The Women's Bible Study is meeting at 10:10 on Thursday mornings, and you can get that information from me or from the church office. Your elder is available to you, as am I, by email and by phone. Do not hesitate to reach out, especially if you are feeling alone and need a connection. We are here. We love to hear from you. I charge you now, my friends, to go forth from this time of worship to love and serve the Lord. Go asking hard questions and seeking faithful answers. Go rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit, and go knowing and trusting and believing that you do not go alone, for God goes before us, and Christ is at our side, and the Spirit is within and among us as we move forward. Knowing this, my friends, be at peace. Amen.